6,000 parts old. What does it mean, 6,000 parts old? It means that if you take into account the end of the dome, for those of you who came in late, we're going the scientific theory that the world at night goes, the sun at night goes behind the dome and comes back to the other side. Okay? So therefore, the thickness of Earth from here to here is 6,000 parsecs. 6,000 parsecs, which is 24,000 mules.
How many feet is that?
Well, each mule is about a kilometer. So
that would be like 24,000 kilometers, which is
about 18,000 miles, something like that.
The radius of the Earth is 6,000 kilometers.
What?
I think the radius of the Earth is 6,000 kilometers, so that's a good number.
The radius of 6,000 kilometers has got to be more than that.
6,000?
No.
I don't remember what it is, but it's more than 6,000 kilometers. I think the circumference of the Earth is like 34,000 or something like that.
So the radius being 6,000, because the radius is 6,000 miles in size, so it's like a quarter.
So it could be. Anyway, let's see what he would describe. So he says, again, for those of you just came to try it out, number
72 minutes. Yeah. What I do with one of the first thing I've had out, so I have it tomorrow.
So the Gemara says at the that according to Rava, the world is 2,000 amos. It's 6,000 amos. 6,000 parsecs, sorry. Have amos sumcha de rakia. The thickness of the dome, called here the rakia, is alpha parsec. Okay? So the thickness of the dome is 1,000 parsecs. That's 1,000 over here, the thickness of the dome. And over here also, same thing, 1,000. So how much is left in the middle? 4,000, right? 6,000 minus 2,000, 1,000 each end. In the middle is 4,000, right? So, Chag tomorrow, one, we have a tradition. What's the tradition? That the world is 6,000 parsecs. That's the tradition. One is the logic. The Chag Svara. The logic is, Kihod Amar Rabba Bar Bachana Amar Biyoznon, like that which Rabbi Bachana said in name Rabbi Yechlan, Kama Mahalach Adam Beinoini Biyoim, what is the average distance a human being can traverse in one day? Yud parsecs, 40 mil, right, approximately 40 kilometers. Me'alos ha-shachar var ha-netzach hamo, 5 mil. I'm going to put this on the board in a minute. I'll do it now. So the totality, a person, now this is the heavens, whatever that means. Now we're going to talk about how a person walks on Earth, right? So we say a person can walk on Earth from here, from the time that the Alos HaShachar, from the time that you can first, the sun starts rising, the dawn occurs, the light first begins to occur, which we assume occurs when the sun turns the corner here and comes under the dome, till the time when the Tzeis Kohanim occurs, which is sometime over here, when the sun turns the corner over here, although we'll have to see if that's true precisely. This is 10 parsecs, which is 40 mil. Okay? And the thickness of that, a person can walk during the, before Alos HaShachar, from dawn till sunrise, 5 mil, and from sunset, the darkness, another 5 years. So five divided by 40 is how much?
Eight,
right? So the this is one, so one can walk 1/8 of the distance, of the total distance, in the course of the period between Alos HaShachar at the dawn and sunrise, and sunset and darkness. Now, we're assuming that this is from here, from the point where the sun rises to the point where the sun sets on an equinox day is 12 hours, right? So far, so good?
Wait, is the Earth considered all, like, or is it considered that you can walk to the dome in this?
No,
or is that Earth is in the middle?
If you walk on Earth, and you don't have anything, you don't get to the dome, the dome is obviously way high in the sky.
But, no, but on either side.
What?
On either side, because there's 4,000 mil in between the edge of one dome and the edge of the other dome, and they're talking about walking that distance.
No, you're not walking during the time it takes the sun to traverse that distance. The sun traverses that distance, the same time you're walking, obviously, much less. So now, the amount of, this is 12 hours. Between the sunrise and sunset is 12 hours. Now, on the equinox day. Now, 12 hours for, bear in mind, we took off 5 mil on each end. So in those 12 hours, how much are you walking? You're walking 30 mil. So if you took off 5 over here, 5 over there. If you walk for 12 hours is 30 mil, how long does each mil take you?
Right?
Well,
it's like
no,
in high school,
if
you're on a train going
for... That's right, so this is straight arithmetic. If you can walk 30 mil in 12 hours, how long does each mil take you?
2.5.
1 hour per 2.5 mil.
Right, so...
So
that means...
Half an hour for 1 minute. No, it's 2.5 in an hour, right?
Well, let's do it times seconds. 12 times 6... 12 times 60 is 720, right? 720. 720 divided by 30 is how much? Precisely?
24.
24. 24 minutes. Is that correct?
Yeah.
24.
Yeah. 24,
48, 72. Right, 24, right. So 24 minutes. So this is the source of a meal being 24 minutes. You see that? From here we derive, yesterday we spoke about how long a Hiluch meal is. How long is it? From this perspective, it is 24 minutes. Let me repeat that again because it's obviously complicated. The amount, the total distance between here, right, the edge of the dome, we assume, and the edge of the dome over here is 12, is the amount of 6,000 parsecs, and the amount of time it takes to walk 40 mils for a human being. Therefore, the time between sunrise and, between dawn and sunrise is, we assume, 5 mils, right? And we know that because we actually measure. In other words, that's when we can know. We can gauge how far, how long a person walks from dawn till sunrise. And so to how long a person walks from sunset to absolute darkness. So we happen to know that each one is 5 mil. And in the middle, because we gauge an average person. And we know that in the middle, therefore, from sunrise to sunset, which is exactly 12 hours on an equinox day, a person walks 30 mil. So if we divide the 30 mil by 12 hours, we come to the conclusion that each mil takes 24 minutes to walk. Okay? Now, therefore, from dawn till light, till sun rises, is 24 times 5. What's 24 times 5?
120.
What? 24 times 5 is 120.
It's 2 hours.
Right? And from sunset until absolute dark is also 5 times 24. They're also 120. Here you have the Briscoe Shita, which holds that after Shabbos you have to wait 2 hours. Because what does this Gemara say? From sunset, so absolute darkness, it's 120 minutes. Now, this is very strange, because yesterday we saw in the Gemara that darkness is considered to be maximum, 3/4 of a meal, plus an additional blink of the eye, right, which is 18 minutes and a few seconds. Yet here we're seeing that it's 120 minutes.
That's from the beginning to the end of darkness?
From the beginning of darkness to the end of darkness, that's right.
I'm sorry, from the beginning of...
Sometimes the sun begins to set until absolute darkness.
Until absolute darkness, right. Okay.
So the so that's one approach. That's Rabbi's approach.
So this 30 mil is absolute daylight.
Right. From absolute sunrise to absolute sunset.
There's 12 hours of absolute daylight. That means it doesn't mean there's 12 hours of absolute darkness.
Not necessarily, right.
But there is clearly 12 hours of absolute daylight.
Right, on an equinox day, we're assuming that. The sun rises at 6 a.m. and sets at 6 p.m.
Okay, but there's Okay, so there's absolute daylight, and then there's a period of
twilight.
Of twilight.
On either end.
On either end. So there isn't. So we know there's 12 hours of daylight, but we don't know there's 12 hours of darkness. Okay.
Yeah. That halachic day is actually, therefore, only because we're, again we have the subject of Benish Marshall said, but halachic day is always longer than 12 hours. Well, right. Halachic definition of daylight may start at dawn and goes to whatever time we determine to be absolute dusk, absolute darkness, right? So therefore, it's much more than 12 hours, right? Because we have on either end. Yeah.
So
it could be 16. 12
plus
2
and
2.
14.
16.
Yeah.
12 plus 2
and
2.
All right,
16.
Yeah, you got it. Yes.
What kind of tradition is this? This is
like,
yeah, I was
going to
ask the obvious question of why are we going by something that's...
Was this
from
Tana?
Obviously not.
Yeah, obviously not. So we have to say...
But this is where we're determining how long
it's... Sorry, I said at the beginning when I began, that was covering scientific knowledge at the time.
So we're determining the time after Shabbos with this.
See? Maybe we will. We haven't gotten that far yet, right?
What is the yeshiva hold after how many minutes, like, for Shabbos? So how many minutes do you hold?
I think that Mars at 60 minutes after Shabbos.
That's common,
right?
60
minutes? 60.
Right, so that means but they hold by 72, right?
Because
by the time you're done...
They hold by 72. We'll have to see because what that means, 72, because... So 72 is not a number which is apparent from any Gemara which has to do with the times of day in Halacha. Right now, if you take this Gemara literally, it's 120 minutes, right? That's a long time. 120 minutes for 5 meals times 24, 120 minutes. Is that clear? Now we got that question reasonably clear. Okay, so we're continuing the Gemara. Nimsa Odio Sharakia.
I'm walking
here. Well, we're right now in the middle. We're opposite without where that goes. Habakkuk is on the inner margin. You see that right back? There's a line above that goes about the only line on the inner margin of the page.
Okay.
So if you look opposite that Gemara and look three lines down from there, you'll see what we're up to.
Okay.
Nimsa Ovidus Rokia, the thickness of the dome is Echad Mishisha Bayom, is 1/6 of the dome. Right, so 1,000 out of 6,000. That's one of them. We have a kasha. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Rabbi Yehuda says quite differently. He says, Mahalach Adam Beinoni Bayoim, I'm sorry, Ovio Shurakia, the thickness of the dome is 1/10 of the day. Echad Batzora Biyom. Teda, and how did he explain it the following way? Teda Kama Mahalach Adam Beinoni Bayoim. How much does an average person walk in the day? Esther Passover. So far it's the same thing. 40 meals throughout the entire day, right? And though Me'alos HaShachar, from the time the dawn begins, Adon Eitzachama, until sun rises, Arba Milin. Not five. He says you only get in here four. So if we're going to this is actually four. And also, at the end of the day, Mishkia Tachama by Tesekul Chovim are Basmilin. From the time that the sun sets until absolute darkness occurs, that's 4 mil. So according to this, the obvious Rakia, the thickness of the Rakia, of the dome, is 1/10 of the day. How is it 1/10? Because 4 is 1/10 of 40. Right? What? The, 4 is 1/10 to 40, so therefore that's the thickness of the dome. And just as over here before, now the number is not precise, because according to the way we reckoned before, we said that the dome is 1/6 of the day. But that's 1/6 of the day, of the inner day, of the day between here and here, because 1,000 is 1/6 of 30. If you took the full 40, then according to the thing we learned before, the thickness of the dome would be 1/8. Right, because it's 1,000 meals, which comes out from the 5, right, 5 is 1/8 of 40. So that actually, according to the first opinion, the period between dawn and sunrise is 1/8 of the total, 1/6 of the inner day, 1 is the total. According to this opinion, 4 out of 40 is 1/10 of the total, which is somewhat 1/7.5 of the inner day. Now, let's take this number. Let's reckon this. So we know that during the day, according to this, a person walks not 30 mil, but 32 mil. Right? You see that? Because you take off on either end, 8. I mean, altogether 8. So 32 mil, you got to trust me on this. 32 mil in 12 hours is 22.5 minutes per mil. Okay? Take on faith. I'm also saying faith. I haven't done the arithmetic. But it is 22.5 minutes per mil. So here we have the second approach, which we had yesterday. Now, here, let's assume that, according to this opinion, of course, the period is 4 times 22.5. So what's 90. 4 times 22.5?
90.
90, right? So this, according to this opinion, the thickness of the dome is 90 minutes here, and the thickness of the dome is 90 minutes there. You see that? As opposed to 120, 120, you have 90 and 90. And there are also opinions that most of the Shabbos should weigh 90. Now, things get interesting because there are opinions in halacha, which I don't really understand, but they exist, that you should take 5 times, we said 5 times 24, so you should take 5 times 22.5. Or that we said before, we said 4 times 22.5, so you should take 4 times 24. There are all sorts of different opinions as to how to mix and match these two different opinions as to the length of time between dawn and sunrise and between sunset and absolute darkness. But it definitely would be no less than 90, according to the second approach, and no more than 120, according to the first approach. Okay? So, of course, the major question is, how do we understand the Gemaras and Pesachim reconciling with the Gemaras in Shabbos? It's very, very difficult. The Gemara Pesachim says 90, 120. And yet in Shabbos, you saw Shabbos is over 18 minutes after sunset. How do we reconcile the two Gemaras? So, there are two ways of reconciling the Gemaras. There's the Sheet of the Gaonim and the Sheet of Rabbeinu Tam. The two ways, we're going to start with Rabbeinu Tam and then go to the Gaonim. But, you know, I really have to tell you the Gemara and Amud Beis here. So I'm going to read it to you outside. I'm sorry about that. I'm sorry. Remember, I'll photocopy it for tomorrow. So listen to this one. The Gemara says, Chachmei Yisrael Emin, the Jewish wise man said, Bayoyim, during the day, Chama Ma'alechus L'matim in Rakia. During the day, the sun goes beneath the dome. Uvalayla, and at night, the sun goes L'malim in Rakia, above the dome. The Chachmei Umos Ha'olam Omrim, the sages of the nations of the world say, Bayoyim, during the day, Chama mehalechet lemata min harakia, the sun goes beneath the dome, ubalayla, and at night, lemata min hakarka, it goes underneath the earth. So the Chachmei Umos Ha'olam held, this is the Chachmei Yisrael cycle, right? The Chachmei Umos Ha'olam actually held that the sun goes a circuit around the earth, okay? The Chachmei Umos Ha'olam. So they held that the sun goes all the way around, makes a circuit. The Gemara says a fascinating thing. Amar Rebbe, Rebbe said, V'nirin devora, nirin divrei mi divoreinu. I think they're right, the non-Jews. Rebbe says, I think they're right. Oh, well, why do I think they're right, though? He says, because Teda, you should know that this is true, it doesn't say the word Teda. He says, Shevayom mayonot tonanim uvalayla rosku. He says, because during the day, a spring is cold, and at night, a spring is warm. So how does a spring get warm at night?
A what? A spring?
A spring.
Of water.
A spring of water. Fresh water spring.
It gets warmer
then? That's what Rebbe's experience was. That's what Rebbe's experience was, that it is warmer. Our experience, the way we have scientific knowledge today says that it does not, it's the same temperature, it's just that vis-a-vis the surrounding air, makes it feel like it's warmer. But Rebbe's understanding was that the springs are warmer at night than during the day. And therefore, how do they get warmer at night? Doesn't make any sense.
Sun underneath.
So it must be the sun is underneath heating them up. Right? So the sun must go underneath at the night. The ramification of this vis-a-vis Hilchos Pesach is the halacha which we have that we don't use water taken from any source if it was in the ground overnight. We have to have the water left in a canister overnight. It's called Mayim Shelmanu, waters which were overnight in a canister, in a container, because we're afraid if they're left in the ground, then they'll get heated up during the night. And warm water has a greater causes dough to rise more quickly, meaning would cause it to become chametz more quickly than cold water. So therefore, in order to ensure that the water is cold and not warm, we actually take the water out of the ground or out of the tap, from wherever we're taking it from, the day before. We leave it in a large container overnight, and we use that water the next day to make the matzah. Okay, because of this issue that Mayonos, that the springs, are roteach, are hot at night. Now, I don't know if that's true actually for city tap water. I don't know what they do in our day and age in matzah factories. But certainly for water which was taken from a spring, they would take it out of a spring the day before, leave it overnight, and use it the following morning in order to knead matzahs. Okay? So this is the machlekes between Chachmei Yisrael and Chachmei Umos Olam. Chachmei Yisrael holds, held it would go up around the dome. Chachmei Umos Olam holds it goes around. So far so good?
Who's right?
What?
Who's right?
I don't know. I've never been up to the heavens. Who knows? Now, obviously it goes around, because otherwise we would never have light in America, right? If it was like the Chachmei Yisrael, the other side of the world, the other side of the globe is dark.
That's what I was thinking.
Like the other side of the moon.
I thought it was wacko from the beginning, like the first one.
Well, it's only because you know about the existence of America. They didn't know about the existence of America.
If
they did, they didn't let on.
It seemed to me that this whole discussion that we're having here based on the theory of the day, it seemed to be like that this discussion would need to be done like today for the current, you know, theory of the day of what's going on, which is, you know, a bit more accurate in terms of prediction. But like, you know, so it seems like basing halakha, like of keeping the water overnight on Pesach, based upon something, based upon thinking that the sun's going to heat up the water from the other side of the earth, I mean, it seems like Do we still follow this halakha just out of respect of the rabbis because the information they were given,
yes.
You know, they made the decision, so to respect their intelligence
tradition,
every day. Like,
that is tradition, right.
That's to do with baking matzahs.
What?
That's to do with baking matzahs. So it's not like all your water is that you're going to use has to be in a big container.
No, no, only the water.
Covered over. It's right. You know, so when you get the Shmura Matzah factory, they've got a barrel of water there.
Makes people feel better that they were not married in Hilchos Manu. They put the water out. It's good. It's fun. Judaism is a fun religion.
What's interesting, though, is the sun heats up the water from inside the ground, the sun, you know, underneath of the earth, but nothing else heats up on the ground. You know what I mean? The hot water doesn't transfer the heat to...
It's interesting. I guess because they have water, you know, water gets warmer quickly. It actually, you know, conducts heat much more quickly. It's interesting that Chazal elsewhere have this good discussion of how the hot springs in Tveria, in Tiberias, how they work. So they're kind of attributed to the sun, I guess, because they're hot all the time, not just at night. But it says because they go over the fires of hell. So peace called Shel Gehenna. So the hell is hot, so the fire is good, the water gets hot.
Okay. I thought it was the remnant of the marble. That's why they're hot.
That's why the springs were left open.
Oh, that's why they're open.
Hell is hot.
Did you know that? Okay, now
that's why they exist.
That's
why they exist, but that's not why they stay warm.
Right. They exist because they weren't closed after the marble, they stay warm because of those
closed. So that's like hot springs like in Sweden and stuff like that.
Yeah, right. So wherever they are, Okay. Now, so far so good. Weekly on this.
But this is the theory that the sun revolves around the earth.
It doesn't matter. It's all the
That's immaterial.
It's immaterial because in the big picture, according to Einstein's theory of relativity, everything is moving. It all depends on your vantage point.
But the Jews didn't believe that the sun revolves around the earth.
What?
The Torah didn't
say it explicitly anywhere.
No, but
it was a given. I mean, that's the way you explain the phenomenon at the time. Rabbi, it's a very important point to make here, which is there's a famous Gemara, not famous, it's a very profound and important Gemara in Avodah Zarah. Not so famous, actually. Gemara in Avodah Zarah says, how did the holiday of Christmas originate?
It's in July.
It's the season to be jolly, right? So now, it's about December 25th, specifically. Yeah. It doesn't talk about...
No,
it was a Roman holiday before, it's Saturnalia.
Oh, that's right.
December 25th.
It was held in the 1800s, and then they started calling it... one of the popes held a huge mass, and it was so successful they
It's much earlier than that.
That's why it's called the mass.
I think it's much earlier than that. As far as
I
know...
Who can anything play, for Sanic and play
for Sanic? Yeah, but
no, but the day was still there.
But the Gemara's not talking about the Christian holiday. The Gemara is talking about the Roman holiday, which should happen on December 25th. Okay? There was a Roman holiday on December 25th. So the question is, how did this Roman holiday get started? Okay? So the Gemara says the holiday started at the time of Adam HaRishon, time of Adam. He instituted the holiday. Why did he institute the holiday? What? Well, not in that form, but the Gemara says, after the sin, whenever the sin occurred, whether it's a Nisan or a Tishrei, and let's assume for now for it occurred in Tishrei, right? After the sin, which happened around the time of the equinox, days started getting shorter, right? And Adam was very afraid. He saw that days were getting shorter and shorter and shorter. And he was sure it's because of the fact that I sinned and took aid from the tree that the days are getting shorter and eventually they're going to cease. Everything will go back to darkness. The world is going to revert to the darkness, the Choshech HaPnei Sehom, which existed before I came into the world. When did this end? December 21st. Because the winter solstice is the shortest day of the year, December 21st. So at first Adam didn't notice what was going on, that things are turning around. It took him a few days to realize. And December 25th, he realized, hey, it's going back the other way. Days are getting longer again. And he said, oh, gewaldig, it's wonderful. And he made a yontif, right? So December 25th was the yontif of seeing that the sun turned around and the days were getting longer again. So there, the Rav eventually became adopted as an idolatrous, a pagan holiday, and eventually became the Christian holiday which we have today.
Wait, but was it true that Adam really did make a Yom Tov out of it?
That's what Gemara says.
How the Goyim find out about the Gemara? I thought we don't teach the Goyim.
No, they had their own tradition. They didn't find out from the Gemara. They were celebrated before the Gemara came. The Gemara says this is how it originated.
Noah wants to celebrate it because
Everybody had off from work on that day for many, many years. The stock market stopped working, in times of Abraham Avinu, so,
wouldn't it be on the Hebrew calendar or not the...
No, on the contrary. Because that's through the sun.
Yeah, it's solar. It's not lunar.
It's not lunar, right. So that's right, we do have a parallel with the moon. The parallel with the moon, once you brought it up, is by the 15th day of Av, Tu B'Av. And the holiday of Tu B'Av, 15th day of Av, we don't observe it that much anymore. We don't say Tachon 15th day of Av. But the holiday of 15th day of Av originated in the desert. Because every year in the desert, what they would do on Tisha B'Av is they would dig graves. Everybody would lie down in a grave. And the next morning, everybody would get up minus 15,000 people. Right? Because 40 times 15,000 is 600,000. And they all have to die in the desert. So therefore, everybody would get up except for the 15,000 whose time had come. Okay? So, it said the last year before they entered Eretz Yisrael, however, there was a general pardon. Nobody died that year. So, at first, they got up morning after Tisha B'Av, the 10th day above, and everybody was there. It was a shocker, right? So it was a following tradition. So they figured, maybe we were wrong in the date. Now bear in mind, Moshe Rabbeinu was with them at this time. This is not before Moshe Rabbeinu died. So they said, maybe we're wrong about the date. So they went down and they lay down another time in the grave, the next night. You can make a movie out of this. So then they got up the next morning. They got up the next morning and they still weren't dead. And so on and so forth. When did they realize that in fact they had not made a mistake? On Tu B'Av. Why? Because on Tu B'Av, on the 15th day of the Jewish month, the moon is full. And obviously by that point they knew, right? We didn't make a mistake. That's been a big mistake. Obviously, 15th day of the month is the 15th day of the month. So therefore, they made a yontif celebrating the fact that nobody had died that year. Okay, everybody was alive and well.
Is the Gemara on the date of Christmas, is that Gemara only, or is that coming from a Mishnah too?
As far as
is that commentary on
as far as I recall, it's a commentary on a Mishnah which lists the days on which you can't do trade with non-Jews, which is the subject of being in Sefer Avodah Zarah.
Really?
You can't do trade with them even that day and a few days before because it's a pagan holiday and they're going to go and give thanks for the big deal which they had with you in their pagan temple. So that's the Gemara's explaining what the pagan holiday, where they originated.
Any other days?
There are a whole slew of them there. There's one opinion, the Rambam Paskins, that every Sunday is considered to be a pagan holiday because the Christians are pagans according to the Rambam, and therefore you wouldn't be allowed to do business with Christians beginning every Thursday. So you can't do it 3 days before their Yom Tov.
Do you stock up on Wednesday?
It's a good, you know, right, yes.
This one was leniency.
Well, we are lenient about this. First of all, we Ashkenazim hold that Christians are not pagans. Right? Right? They are because they do believe in what? Well, they have two other gods besides the right one. But as long as they got one out of three, it's not bad. So that's the Ashkenazi perspective.
And really, it's only the Catholics that sort of have. I mean, the other ones have three, but really, like.
Oh, they don't understand it. They don't understand themselves. It's the mystery of the Trinity. They have no clue what it actually is.
Even the Pope,
he's
completely.
They don't think one of them is.
What?
They don't say actually one of them is.
The Father.
Yeah,
the Father.
Yeah. They say it's God, and they say it's like.
That's just Mary, the Son.
No, Mary. First of all, only the Catholics have Mary. Protestants don't have Mary. One of the reasons Protestants separated from the Catholics is because they didn't like the Mary cult. They were not happy about it.
Like, wait a minute. That doesn't make any sense.
Right.
Mary what?
The cult of worshiping Mary. There's a name for it. I forget what it is. The people who worship Mary.
But Catholicism sometimes
what?
The same from
Catholic. No, no, no. Within the Catholic.
It's a cult, yes.
So within the Catholic.
If I'm a grown up to what I learned, I can tell we learned about the Trinity. And
yeah, the difference between the Catholic perception and the Protestant perception.
But Catholics
so
pray in front of statues of saints.
What?
But don't Catholics pray in front of statues of saints?
Right, that's
and, like,
another
like
thing.
That?
Luther didn't like any of the stuff. He didn't like the fact that they venerated Mary, and he didn't like the fact that they venerated saints.
He didn't like the fact
that they granted indulgences for sins, a whole bunch of things. He had the list he hung up on the door of the church in Wittenberg. How many was it there? So it was a long list of complaints, big list.
But Rabbi Saperstein brought up the point that Martin Luther's sources for all his studies was the Gemara. He go to the original sources.
Yeah, they did have big scholars of Gemara. The non-Jews during that epoch did have great scholars of Talmudic scholars, which is an interesting phenomenon.
Well,
but it didn't make Luther help to like the Jews any better. The fact that he might have no active sources did not appreciably change his anti-Semitism. Now, so getting back to our topic after this digression. You see a fundamental thing for this Gemara in Avodah Zarah. That even Adam HaRishon, right, was not granted science. He was not told that this is the world, way the world is going to work. He was not told, you should know the days are going to get shorter and it's natural. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, for reasons best known to him, but we can hypothesize, did not choose to reveal to Adam the principles of basic science and astronomy. So it's not considered to be necessarily part of the revelation, which we have as a tradition, the sciences, astronomy, medicine, it may well be that you will find things which are not absolutely correct in terms of the actual theory, and that's important for I'm trying to make an important point, because you asked me before how we would update it in terms of our modern astronomical understanding. That's a very good point, and the principles which Chazal used may be eternal, and we'll explain how they're eternal, despite the fact that the scientific model has changed.
Right.
But it's going to take me until tomorrow. I won't get that today, obviously. But that's important. But we don't have to assume that Chazal had access to all advanced scientific knowledge, because other Marishal didn't have access to all advanced scientific knowledge, right? Not as we don't have to assume that Chazal knew, you know, what we know today. So therefore, the question is really how Chaz, the phenomena, which were classified into theories in one way at that time, and classified into theories in another way in our time, how the phenomena which remain the same are regarded by Halacha. Is that clear in any way, shape, or form? The phenomena of this are the same. They're the same at Adam's time, they were the same at Moshe Rabbeinu's time, they were the same at the time of Chazal, and they were the same, they're the same today. How to classify and understand the phenomena, which is science, changes over time. At one time they understood the phenomena in way X.
Diverted, and they ended 1 o'clock to accommodate a Musa Shira in the base center for the whole yeshiva from 1:05 to 1:15. Recently, attendance at that base center Shira, 1:05, has been down. So, what we need to do is I'm basically here to encourage everybody to attend that Shira. And if they have a problem with that Shira, then we will extend it to 1:15. But it's one of the other.
Okay. The translation is that I better stop now. But I'm just going for one more minute, which is that the question is not so much how science explains the phenomena, but rather what our attitude in halacha is towards the phenomena, which remains the same regardless of whatever scientific theory explains it. Be that as it may, I'm only going to be able to explain that tomorrow. I just want to make one point to begin with. There are two ways to reconcile the Gemara in Shabbos and the Gemara in Pesachim. One way, which is the way of Rabbeinu Tam reconciles the Gemara, is to take into account two sunsets. And I'll explain tomorrow. There's the first Shkia and the second Shkia. The first sunset is here, when the sun turns this way. The second sunset is here, when the sun starts turning that way. And according to Rabbeinu Tam, the real sunset is when the sun starts going behind the dome, not when the sun starts going due outside, straight towards the edge of the dome. That's the halachic sunset, not this one. Yeah?
How do you know exactly what's from the tradition from Sinai?
I don't know. You shouldn't necessarily assume anything scientific is from Sinai. Why would you assume anything was? The principles of halacha were given at Sinai.
But certain explanations about how things work.
How do you know that? What makes you assume that?
Well, I don't know.
They were very smart. They knew lots of stuff. They had divine revelation. They were divine people. That doesn't necessarily give it a sign.
But Torah contains all knowledge.
What? Yeah, but you don't know how it contains all knowledge.
Right.
It may well contain all knowledge, but that does you no good. That does you no good because you don't know how to find it.
Right. Well, I mean, the Zohar has a lot of cosmological principles that are actually...
There's a lot of astronomy, a lot of science, which is accurate, but you don't have to assume necessarily, you know, any of that comes from Sinai. From Sinai came the Torah, as it was given, the Ten Commandments, and the principles of Halacha for all time, but not necessarily anything more than that.
So some things were, though. Some things were,
I just said, lots of things were given at Sinai. But not, as a matter of fact, they were at Mount Sinai for a long time, and during the course of that time, they were given Bereishis, Shmos, and Vayikra. Right? And all of our laws were given Bereishis, Shmos, and Vayikra. But, that's not everything. There's a lot of stuff which comes after that, and it's not included in that. Yeah.
So you know,
otherwise I'm going to get in trouble.
If we know this theory, 120 is wrong, right?